Welcome to another week of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. I'm Lauren Fox.
And I'm Andrew Hansen.
And if you are a betting man, which I know you are, what do you think is going to happen? Will we officially change the show name before they have a camera in the studio?
That's a tough...
It's like a prop bet.
Tough prop bet to book.
It's like if a cat falls off the counter but has toast with butter strapped to its back, which side lands down? The cat feet or the buttered toast? I don't know.
I would think the cat feet. That's
logical, but if you drop toast from anywhere, the toast always lands on the side that has the butter or the peanut butter.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like this thing in flux. So, eventually, we'll do it. I'm still not terribly unhappy about the fact that we don't have cameras in here because I can't, you know, I may have mentioned this before. I may just have these conversations with myself, but when I'm watching SportsCenter in the background while I'm, you know, doing my stuff around the house and it turns 6 o'clock and all of a sudden Golic and Wingo comes on. Like have you ever seen the beginning of the show? It's like these horns.
No, I don't recall.
It's like this, just these horns of sadness. I'm like, I don't like the show. And so I don't understand why anybody would want to watch a radio show on TV. You know, but anyway, I digress. That's what I do. So
on that point,
yes.
Last night we had the quarterly board meeting for the WBNH and BCTV board.
We did.
And
did you go?
Yeah, I'm
really?
Part of the board.
Really?
Yeah.
My invite must have got lost in the mail.
Well, you were referenced in a positive light. That was a common theme of last night, which we can get into.
But Lauren Fox is not in jail yet. Yes.
But Bill Jennings, as part of his update, he included the fact that George Cox is working on the camera for this studio, for our show. So stay tuned.
As I sit here and pick my nose. I can't do that if I have a camera.
Speaking of cameras.
Yes.
That was quite a night last night for Mr. Fox. He was getting referenced in a positive way at the board meeting.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. And I didn't watch WMUR either.
Well, you were on there.
I know. So I heard. I had random people texting me. But yeah, there you go.
You're a political and a sports guru.
I'm really not a political guru at all. Nobody wants that. Least of all me. So, all right. High school sports, I guess we'll start with, because we have an interview to follow this segment with the coach of the Bedford High Unified Basketball Team, Kathy Campbell-Kelly. But the boys and girls basketball seasons continue to roll on. We saw a game that you and I characterized it after he hit the shot. He'll never forget this game. This kid, Joey Da Silva from Windham. The Bulldogs had every opportunity to pull away in that one. They were up 9, three times in the game? And each time they just couldn't find a way to pull Windham away. Finally, about 17 seconds left, Connor Butts hits a pair of free throws. The Bulldogs have been trailing by 1. They go up 56-55. They get fouled. They, you know, Windham misses a shot. Bedford gets the ball back. Gets fouled. 2 free throws. Miss both free throws. Get the rebound. Get fouled. Miss both free throws again. Windham gets the ball back. And a buzzer beater out of the hands of their guard, Joey Da Silva. And that was the dagger in the heart of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. One of those games where you mentioned Connor hitting those first 2 free throws, but then later in the fourth quarter, they missed their free throws and a chance to seal it. And that's how you win close ball games, is you make free throws, you take care of the ball. And on the flip side, it was an amazing shot, amazing moment, fun celebration for those Windham players and supporters. So one more reason to come out and watch the ball games.
Yeah, you always have mixed emotions when something like that happens. And you and I have talked about it in the context of a clock in football. Like, you may waste 20 seconds or the officials might mess up and not set a clock appropriately early in the game. Late in the game, it's like, we got to get it right. Everything gets magnified. All right, we're going to set the clock back to blah, blah, blah. And okay, great. And in the case of in this game, Bedford winds up the student section does their job as the sixth man and gets Da Silva to fire a 3 early at the end of the first half. He misses it and a rebound ensues and Windham winds up making 1 free throw there. misses, or he missed the first, made the second. Justin O'Neal goes to inbound the ball. Da Silva intercepts it.
And there's what, 1.6 seconds left?
1.8. I mean, who cares? It's 0.2 seconds. But the he knew the time. Like, the clock in his head was fully functional, and he knew exactly how much time he had, took about two dribbles, shot it from the left side, drains a three. So instead of being up, what was it, 26-17, now they're up 26-21 at the half.
A four-point swing.
A big four-point swing for nothing, really. And so then that, but it, then the shot at the end of regulation, you look at both of those, they scored 7 points in the span of about 3 seconds of clock time.
And in a game that ends up being a 1 or 2 point difference, those 7 points are rather large.
Right. So it was, as a fan, it was a fun game to watch. As a player, I'm sure it was a devastating game. Talk to some of the kids that were in the Bedford student section. They thought the game was won. They from their standpoint, underneath the basket, he had no shot.
Well, when he was releasing the shot, we were right behind him. We had the perfect angle. I didn't think he was going to make it because it was sort of a step back. He was sort of flat-footed. He didn't get great elevation on it, but he obviously compensated with his arms, pushing just a little bit more. He got just enough on it, and he made it. It was a terrific shot.
Yeah, it was neat to see. And, of course, I guess there are two schools of thought. If you're a coach and you lose a game like that, do you want to get right back on the horse immediately, or do you want to have a week off?
Somewhere, week off is fine. You don't want to wait too long, but you certainly don't want to play the next night. You want to have time to digest it, talk about it, use it as an opportunity to teach, improve, learn, and grow. I mean, that's what you have to do with games like that, is you break down all those elements like we just did, and you make sure that you're better in that next opportunity where you have a one possession game late in the fourth quarter.
So then for Bedford, they wind up going to Keene tonight. So they had a full week off. It's just
Friday.
Yep. Friday, we're recording the show. It's just the way that the schedule works. So as a result, they have a week off. And hopefully for their sake, they've had the opportunity to fine tune some things. I haven't looked into how Keene is doing this year. And I don't know. I'll come back to that. I know you and Harry did the girls basketball game on Tuesday. I was busy attempting to have another career as a downhill skier.
On the biggest mountain in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Yeah, Harry and I enjoyed calling the girls' game this Tuesday, and it was a solid victory, 52-44 over Salem. Isabella King had another strong game with 19 points, and Amanda Jonas was terrific. She had a double-double. She had 10 points, and we estimated she probably had about 15 rebounds. And it was impressive. She was dominant on the glass on both ends. And Salem had some good players. Jordan Franzen, this big, tall, long point guard, sort of really big enough to be a small forward. But she's really good at handling the ball, initiating the offense. She had 10 points. And then this other guard, Olivia Murray, had 21. So Bedford had an opportunity to face off against these skillful guards, be in one of these closer games and come out on top. So positive experience for the Bulldogs.
It is a long season, and really for Coach Kevin Gibbs, it's what can you learn week in and week out? How can you improve? Because you know that the loss that the Bulldogs have, the loss to BG, is the one that you got to find a way to avenge. Somehow you're going to have to go through BG unless something very strange happens. Just to get back to that, the only common opponent that Bedford and Keene have is Nashua South. Bulldogs beat them by 13. Keene lost to them by 10. So if you're an odds maker setting odds on this game, you would install the Bedford Bulldogs as a favorite. I don't know by what. But anyway, that game is tonight at 6:30. We will not have that on air. And honestly, by the time you listen to the show, it will have already been played. So
I want to do a stats update as well.
Yes, you have stats?
Because I failed our listeners at the end of the broadcast, the boys game, when we were recounting the point totals.
You actually went through this again.
Well, the thing is, I noticed that I had the stats on here. I just didn't get to the point where the guys that only had 2 points, there was a player on each team with 2 points that I failed to recognize.
Okay.
So on Wyndham, it was Riley Damaris had 2 points. And Bedford's JT DeLacy had 2 points.
Yep.
So I have come up with a new scoring system in terms of our score sheets here for upcoming broadcasts.
Really?
Where
we're going to talk about this on there.
Yeah. I'm going to
wake up.
I'm going to total up the points on wake the left up. Side of the sheet, and I'm going to put a mark so I know how many points each player scored in each half.
There you go.
So
helpful. Yes.
Yes.
The, you know, it's funny because I was watching the Celtics and the Bucks last night, and we have all, I've done a decent amount of play-by-play over the years. And so, and this is from, you know, I'd be broadcasting for a minor league team in Kansas City, and our official scorer periodically would walk in. He was this old guy. I've talked about him on the air before, named Lou Spry, who Lou was the official scorer at the College World Series for decades. Rest in peace, Lou. He was the one of a kind, you know, the gold glasses, mutton chop, sideburns, just a classic dude. His wife would once a year make lasagna for everybody that was in the media and bring wine. And you were eating lasagna and drinking wine before the game with Lou and Marilyn. Like, just really good people. And a guy who got a kick out of what he was doing and was truly a student of the game. Lou would walk in with little scraps of paper and say, that's, you know, so-and-so, even if it wasn't in the game notes, 12-game hitting streak for so-and-so, or, like, he'd pick up trends. When I started doing stuff for Metro Sports in Kansas City, the same thing would happen. You had Steve Kurtenbach up in the truck, who's he's one of the best in the business at being an executive producer. And, you know, he's got a team of 10 people in there who are running stats and whatever, and you have a monitor in front of you, and you see a stat come on, or a curtain box talking to you in your ear and telling you a stat. So there are sometimes you have that where you have a little bit of help. And then there are sometimes where you have no help at all, where you're one dude in Lincoln, Nebraska, and your only hope is that somebody's listening to the game and texts you something.
Right.
And in this case, it's if we were smart, go down to the scorers table, kind of true everything up at halftime where we have the time. So
we don't have a
I have to imagine
three statisticians next to us us information.
Last night I would figure, I think it was Marv Albert and Chris Weber, I would figure they probably have iPads that just update things.
Oh yeah, the two computer screens, one probably with the video feed, one with the stats that keep updating in real time.
Right. So, I mean, it should be obvious that I have a hard enough time talking without trying to do math. that was us during the game arguing about the number of points that, who was it? The freshman kid for Wyndham had.
Right.
So, but he was a pleasure to watch too. That Wyndham team is good. That was a good matchup. I would love to see that matchup again in the playoffs. From what I understand too, if I understood correctly, De Silva played at BG at one point
okay.
as well. So, but anyway, that was certainly one for the ages, and you hope for the Bulldogs that in the ensuing few days of practice, Coach Elmendorf has been able to right the ship more so, and that, you know, at this point we saw it happen last year. The team sort of went into a little bit of a tailspin, a couple tough losses, and it was really tough for them to dig their heels in and recover. This year, you got to find a way. It's still early in the season.
Yes, indeed.
So on the hockey front, I rolled out Saturday night, watched the girls' hockey team, which if you have not seen them, it's fun. Like, I know that we look at some of these scores and say, hey, the team's having a rough time. They lost 10-0, this, that. They lost the other night 6-0 to a combo team that was Bishop Brady, Trinity, and West. It was closer than the score would have indicated, and got some good shots on goal. The goalie for the Brady West Trinity team did a great job. The goalie for Bedford, Amanda Ducharme, did an excellent job. Made a lot of tough saves and really kept her bearings well. And you know, some of the skating that we saw is very good. There are some girls obviously who are more advanced because they've been playing at a higher level for a while. There are some who are newer to the game and are still trying to learn, and it's not an easy game. Skating is hard.
Right.
But, from talking to the parents, the the girls are very supportive of each other. They, you know, end of the game, they come to center ice and slap their sticks on the ice as a way to thank the parents before they even get to the and everybody who's in attendance before they get to the handshake line. So just a lot to be proud of with that team. And we'll talk about the unified basketball team in a little bit, which, you know, the popular narrative, and you and I have talked about it these days, is high school kids and, you know, they're lazy and they're just every negative thing that people can throw at these kids, they throw at them. There are far more good kids than there are not good. So, and, you know, you go to a hockey game and you see that. You go to a unified basketball game, you talk to the coach, you understand that too.
And for those who want to get an introduction to the girls hockey team, they'll have an opportunity coming up.
Are you going to tease it or are you going to give the whole thing?
The broadcast?
Yeah.
Yes. Lauren Fox and Harry Kozlowski will bring you the action, and it's coming up on Monday, correct?
It is coming up on Monday. So
Monday the 20th.
Monday the 20th, 6 p.m. So we will be on air talking about hockey. That should really be interesting. Harry knows what he's doing. You know, I'm going.
But you've got the inside scoop on the team now. Yeah, you've seen them in person this year.
I guess in the truest sense of the word, I'm going to be the color analyst. I'm going to add color to the broadcast and hope that Harry doesn't kill me. So, boys hockey team, 5-3-1. They beat Windham 3-2. I don't know when their next one is, but again, we talked to Marty Myers last week. The challenge that they have is they're just replacing a lot of offense. You know, there are three big names that have since graduated from the team or from school. So it will take time, but the level of coaching that they get, the accountability the program has, no doubt that by the time we get to the end of the year, the Bulldog boys hockey team will be close to the top of the heap. And then, you know, I said it in my email to you, but I said I missed the Runaway Bulldog updates. The website, the Runaway Bulldog, used to have all these great sports updates week in and week out. It hasn't been updated this year. So if anybody knows the Runaway Bulldog people, just tell them that Fox and Hansen would like more sports updates, because they added a lot.
Yes.
It was like having our own little sports section. So
it helps. So in terms of the upcoming schedule for the boys hockey team, they play at Memorial this Saturday, the 18th at 4:10 p.m., and then they're off for a week. They play the next Saturday at Nashua South, 4:40 p.m. So there you go.
There you go. So, all right, if you're interested in any of this or any upcoming schedules, the NHIAA website is an invaluable resource for it. So check it out. And if you've got nothing to do on any given night, check and see which high school teams are playing, or even the junior high teams. Go and show your support. It's better than sitting around watching TV. So, that's all.
And Allie Morgan would be proud.
Allie Morgan would be very
and appreciative.
And Ella Irwin would both be very proud and appreciative. So we'll take a quick break, come right back with Kathy Campbell-Kelly, the coach of the Bedford High Unified Basketball Team. You are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. I'm Lauren Fox.
And I'm Andrew Hansen.
And we have a special guest who joined us last year. And it really seems like everybody is talking about unified basketball these days. So we figured we'd bring back the coach, Kathy Campbell-Kelly. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
It's fun to have you. And it's funny, like I see random posts from people on Facebook talking about it, or hear the kids that I coach talking about it. And I even saw it on the BHS dog section. Somebody mentioned it. So it seems like it's all over the place. But for those who may have missed the interview on the show last year, how would you say that unified basketball is structured differently than varsity basketball?
Okay, well, it is a varsity, an NHIA varsity sport. It's a co-ed sport, and there's a competitive and a non-competitive or a player development league in the state, and There are about 36 teams, and we are actually, there are 16 in the competitive league, and we're in the competitive part of it. And whether that means anything or not, but it happens that we have 8 students with special needs, which we call athletes, and we have 26 typical players, which we call our partners. And on the court at one time, there are 3 athletes and 2 partners, and only the athletes are allowed to score points. So our partners support them in getting them into position and inbounding the balls and that type of thing. So it's a pretty unique situation, and it's a pretty awesome concept. So,
and Coach, we understand that you are 2 games into the current season. What have some of the highlights been so far in the early going?
We lost one senior last year, one senior athlete. So we have 3 new athletes this year, which are it's very exciting to have. They're all very sweet and lovely children and are athletes, and they have some skill coming up. So it's great to have some new blood in the team, and we have 12 seniors. So it's a huge team. It's huge to sort of manipulate and coordinate, but we have a blast out there. Whether it's practice or a game or just seeing each other in the hall, it's a pretty positive experience.
It's really a lot of fun. And so this year, and just to refresh, we're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach over at Bedford High School. I mentioned it earlier. I've heard way more people talking about the team in the past than in the past. I don't know if it's a selective perception or if you've sort of hit critical mass where it's now something that people are aware of, but how have you accomplished this? And how can we continue to sort of change people's attitudes toward the kids who are the athletes on the team?
Well, this is the 8th year that that I've coached it here at Bedford High School. It's actually the 8th year that we've had it. And I think just the exposure of having people come to a game and experience how much fun it is and how much energy, positive energy, that's in that gym, whether it's a family member or a teacher or a student or a staff member, it's, you know, people come up to me afterwards and say, wow, that was like the coolest thing I've ever watched. And it's contagious. It's, and people love positive stuff, and they share it with others. And we have more and more fans each time we have a game, and it's a pretty special event. So
that is fun to hear about, and we'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming schedule. But we're curious about some of the details of this team and any surprises you've had this season in terms of success or adversity.
Well, we have all of our athletes are really improving on a practice-to-practice basis, just with their confidence and just being comfortable with their partners and just being able to be successful and get in there and be more aggressive. And Stevie Lucier, who is a returning player, has been our high score the last 2 games, and just to see the delight on his face when he scores a basket, it's just or any of them when they score a basket, whether it's an athlete or a partner, there's always a roar when somebody scores a basket, and even the other team, when the other team scores, everybody, it's just a positive, very positive atmosphere. And our 3 new athletes are coming along also, and it's been great. The only adversity I'd say we'd have is that it's tough to get gym time. And with that many team members, it's hard to have a pretty we have successful practices, but it's hard to get the, if we could have more gym time, that would be even better. So sometimes, like last night, we had to split the gym with track. So that's a pretty creative practice you have to run. So
right. I think you're preaching to the choir. Both Andrew and I like to play basketball, and that's something in this town that is extremely hard to come by, is just time on the gym, and particularly not just if you're talking about a unified basketball team, the high school, the boys and girls teams as well. And then for rec players playing in town, if you want to get some time to shoot in between, you know, give an example. My daughter, who's an eighth grader, is playing on a rec team over at the Memorial Gym, which I'm sure you've seen. For anybody who hasn't.
Right. I used to teach over there.
Oh, it's, a tiny gym. It is the tiniest. Like, and you know, you have 10 eighth grade girls, seventh and eighth grade girls running around in that thing. Like, it's you can't really practice spreading the floor at all.
Yeah, so. It's challenging. It is challenging. We have so many great, we're, you know, lucky we have so many great programs. But again, space is an issue for all teams. So
it's that really is a challenge. It's not just you guys. It's everybody. We're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach over at Bedford High School. And from your perspective, how has the culture of the program developed in the 8 years that you've been involved?
I'm sorry, I missed that last question. We had an intercom interruption here. I apologize.
That's probably more important during a school day, as knowing what's being said on the intercom. In the 8 years you've been the coach, how has the program's culture developed in that time?
Well, again, it's just exposure. With us, I teach a unified wellness class, and I know at the middle school they have unified program classes where typical students interact and engage with you know, our special needs students, and it's just it's a great program, and it basically infuses and integrates our typical kids. Well, unified means being together, and that's what it's all about, is being a big, happy community. And it's really, it's been really developing, because we also have added unified art and unified music. So it just, it brings all of our students together in a very positive way.
And as we have caught you here mid-season, do you have any goals for the rest of the season, either for the team as a whole or for any of the individual athletes?
Well, we really need to work on defense, defense and positioning. And we try to do that every practice, and it's getting better. It's getting better. So we're really, we saw some progress last night in practice, even with a half a gym. And it's always a positive atmosphere out there. There's a lot of laughter going on, a lot of high fives, a lot of camaraderie, and that environment in and of itself is really conducive to learning. So we just see a lot of progress. So,
well, we know that there are three remaining home games, and Lauren and I are going to come out and check on your team's defensive progress.
But I actually just uploaded the schedule to the Fox on Sports Facebook page, so it is there.
Of the three remaining home games, is there one in particular that you would suggest fans coming to watch more than others?
You know, they're all awesome. It doesn't matter who we play. It doesn't matter what the score is out there. The atmosphere in that gym is electric. It really is. It's, you know, whether you're at the score table or you're a fan in the crowd, or if you're of my 28 partners, who half of them don't get in during a game, they're cheering as if they were, you know, they're going to get in any second. And it's just, it doesn't matter what game you come to. It really is. Just come, because you'll leave with a very, very positive feeling. It's magic to witness. It really is.
I'm super excited to see it. We're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach at Bedford High School. And it's impressive. You have more partners than you do players, and far more. And this is something for the partners where it's an optional activity. And for them, it takes time and it takes patience and all of that sort of stuff. The more that Andrew and I wind up talking to high school kids, the more we realize that they're far more mature, deal with way more things than we ever dealt with, you know, when I was in high school 30 years ago, which kind of makes me sick to even think that it was that long ago. But They seem to
don't even go there, Lauren.
I don't even want to think about it. I had the thought. I was like, all right, my 30th reunion is next year. But they're far more cerebral and thoughtful than I feel like we were back then. Do you find that to be the case with both the players and the partners on the team?
You know, we're so lucky here at Bedford High School. We have great kids. And if I tell this to everybody, those 26 kids plus, well, actually 28 because two managers also, that come out to support our athletes are kids that if I went around, I mean, most kids at this high school are that way anyways. But if I went around the school and had to pick 28 kids, those kids that are in my gym already are the kids that I would say, wow, you know, these guys are going to do great. And they, like you said, it's a voluntary thing, and it's something they choose to do, and it couldn't be more just, you know, a great, great thing to happen. It just, it's they're, you know, I get really teary-eyed sometimes, and I get really choked up because it just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's nice to see. Very mature.
It really is because they're giving themselves and the most valuable thing they have, which is their time. So we're going to bring you back to center, the yoga club. How many kids do you have in the yoga club? I'm more curious than anything else.
Okay. That's interesting. I have about, the roster has been fluctuating. It's between 8 and 15 kids.
Okay.
And, it's a club sport. So, we have club time one day a week. So, it's a bunch of, it's mostly girls. And if a guy would be smart if he joined that, he'd be all set.
Uh-huh.
They're the nicest girls, you know, half of them are from my field hockey team, or have had in wellness. They're just a bunch of really nice girls. And, they come to, the meeting, and then they decide, you know, where they're going to go do yoga that week sometime or a couple of times during the week. And we'll just do yoga for, it's only a 20-minute advisory time that we have. So they kind of mostly just plan what they're going to do for that week and which studio or venue that they're going to go visit that week. So
that's
really kind of fun.
It's kind of a nice perk of being in high school. Once a week, find your center, become more limber. So, again, we appreciate the time. We know that we caught you in between periods today. So we really appreciate it. The next game is Monday the 27th at the high school at 3:15 p.m. So Mondays look good for me. I plan on being there. And I'm pointing at Andrew.
Yes.
You going to come?
I think I can make that.
All right. So
that's awesome. And the next three games are home games. And then we go back out on the road on February 13th. We're at Londonderry High School, and then we go to Nashua High School. So it's a quick season. We're done by the end of February. And I just want to mention, too, our whole team, Londonderry High School, puts on a unified prom called the Snowball. And I just counted up the money for, 26 out of my whole 26 or 28 out of my whole team are going to be going to that. We went last year, and it was from 6 to 9 on the 28th of January. And my whole team talked the DJ into staying till 10 o'clock because they're having so much fun.
That's awesome. Well, again, we appreciate it, and look forward to catching the game, in a week and a half?
Right. Right.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much. And come on out and see it.
Wonderful.
Thanks. Everybody.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Coach.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Have a good night.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. That's always a good, fun interview. And we, obviously, I say always, this is year number two. But you and I weren't aware of the program last year. I think, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Corey said something to us, or one of the parents said something to us. And we basically got in on it after the season was over.
Right.
And so now I'm excited about it. It's, you know, I think it's really special. You have over 24 kids that, again, you're in high school. I would have been at a basketball court shooting hoops or playing Pac-Man or doing something that had very limited value. And these kids are choosing to help make somebody else's day better.
Time is precious, and it's a wonderful sacrifice that they're making.
So anyway, the Unified Basketball coach, Kathy Campbell-Kelly, always a great guest on the show, and look forward to catching their game on the 27th at the Bedford High Gym at 3:15 p.m., or their next game, I should say. So we'll take a quick break, come right back. You are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Really is always a lot of fun to talk to Coach Kathy Campbell-Kelly. It's a tongue twister. But
I missed out last year. That was a solo interview that you did.
Why did I do that?
Well, I think it was some weird scheduling snafu.
You and kids and yeah.
So I was glad to be a part of it this year.
All right. I forgot about that. So anyway, thanks to Coach, and if you missed the interview, of course, you can find it on the Bedford 105.1 website, and you can catch them in action Monday the 27th at 3:15 at the high school. And I guess as we're thinking about unified basketball, that's a pretty pure embodiment of sport.
Yes, very.
Well, that is not what we're getting right now in Major League Baseball, kids.
All the purity is out the window now.
Nope.
It's gone.
Oh, what a mess. Like, I mean, just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worser.
Wow, what a scandal.
It's just a mess. Like, and I don't know, you probably I don't know how much you're on Facebook.
Not enough to need to delete the app from my phone.
No, I deleted it from my phone. But
right.
Facebook is scary because I think their algorithms know me better than I know myself. They know exactly what I want to see. They know who I'm related to. They know, like, and everything from the top of your feed all the way down becomes progressively less and less interesting to you. But the things that pop up as I am navigating to a client's Facebook page or whatever, and I should know better, tend to be pretty exclusively about baseball. And so I tend to see a lot of dialogue between guys who played for teams that I used to work for and other guys who used to play for teams that I used to work for. And so it's kind of like you're playing Minesweeper, like you click on one and then it takes you to, all right, this is the next conversation between these guys. And, oh, here's this video. Like, it just gets brutal. So I guess, do you want to give the 30,000 foot view and then we can start shedding some light on this mess?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Hey.
So there, if you missed it, the scandal that we're referring to has been taking place down in Houston.
Actually, if you missed it, I'd really like to talk to you about how I, too, can go on a complete media fast because I need that. But anyway, continue.
Well, if you missed it, then we appreciate you checking in here for the updates.
Yes.
We're happy to provide that.
Fully.
So what the Houston Astros did starting in 2017 was initiate and execute an elaborate sign-stealing strategy where they would use the camera from the center field area, and they put a monitor right outside the dugout. So they took that picture and made it a live feed right outside the dugout where players, assistant coaches, various members of the team front office could watch it, decode the signs that the catcher was putting down, figure out that system, and then communicate the pitch to the batter, communicate the pitch that was coming by banging on the trash can. They didn't have a coffee mug like Lauren's in here banging to indicate that there's an off-speed pitch coming, which I appreciate. Now I know, you know, I can set up my timing. I know there's a curveball coming, but that's what they would do. They would bang on the trash can if there was an off-speed pitch coming.
Yep.
If they didn't bang on the trash can, it meant that there was a fastball coming. And lo and behold, the Astros go on to win the World Series.
I guess there are a few things. As only Maggie can feel bad for something, I feel really bad for the Dodgers.
Yeah, well,
that's her takeaway from it. And
that's
she's
the first
not,
place you have to turn.
She's not a Dodger fan like I'm a Dodger fan, but I feel bad for the Dodgers. They've lost in 17 to the Astros and sorry Sox fans, and 18 to the Red Sox, who had Alex Cora as their manager, who was a somewhat central figure in the whole thing.
He was the bench coach. bench coach in Houston in 2017 while this was going on. Then, of course, he took over and managed the Red Sox in 2018 to the World Series. And he has since been let go because the Red Sox were doing nefarious things as well.
It's, I mean, the plot is so thick at this point, it's already set. Like, I mean, it's
not even like, a soup anymore.
It's not cement anymore. It's concrete now. It's just, it's everything on top of everything on top of everything. And everybody has an opinion on it. You know, you go through and you watch some of these at bats, and I'm watching, Clayton Kershaw try to work on Alex Bregman, and Kershaw, who is usually lights out, just can't get out of some of these at-bats and just can't find basically the knockout pitch. You just can't find it. And you can see the frustration on him. And then pitch number 8 or 9 of the at-bat, it culminates in a walk, or an at-bat culminates in a home run, you know, deep to left. And some of the pitch sequencing, it's bizarre. It's like fastball in, curveball away, and they're sitting on a curveball away after, like, some of these things are just are
hard to explain.
It's hard to explain how you could sit on that off-speed pitch in that situation
and look so comfortable doing it
and hit the ball a mile. And, you know, and Alex Wood, who's a pitcher for the Dodgers, came out and said, I would rather face a guy on steroids than I would a guy who knows what pitch is coming next. And I don't disagree with him at all.
No, I agree completely.
I can fool a guy who's on steroids. I can't fool a guy who knows that the next pitch is going to be a fastball or a curveball.
That's the thing. That's what a pitcher is trying to do. He's trying to deceive the batter.
Hitting is timing. Pitching is upsetting timing.
I mean, he's trying to look exactly the same with his windup and delivery on every pitch so that you don't know what's coming. And that's what he's trying to perfect to give him an edge. So it makes total sense. That's what you have to protect is that deception.
So you lose that entirely. Then, so as if it wasn't bad enough that the trash can lid is being banged or somebody's hitting the trash can with a bat, now then it becomes are players wearing buzzers? And somebody who is purportedly Carlos Beltran's niece, which, I mean, I don't really talk business with my nieces ever. So I don't know why my nieces would know anything about any of this, but whatever. Somebody who's Carlos Beltran's niece is saying...
Allegedly.
I mean, because Twitter is rife with burner accounts, but Twitter is just a disgusting mess, but...
But it's amazing at the same time.
And no, I don't even... I'm not a Twitter guy. It's amazing if you write haiku and that was the end of Twitter. But once Twitter devolved into what it is, I'm done. But... She claimed that players were wired with a buzzer on them, that somebody could then transmit little like electric shocks or like stim, I guess, to a player that would let him know fastball, curveball. Now, you might look at that and say that's preposterous. And then you might look at a video of Jose Altuve hitting a 2-run homer off of Aroldis Chapman, who's throwing about 106 miles an hour and pulling the ball to left center field. And you might say, well, the standard celebration at home plate is we're going to rip the guy's jersey off and we're going to dump water on him and cheer. And Altuve is running down the third base line in what should be the biggest moment of his career where he's not thinking about anything. And he's saying to the he's holding his shirt together at the top and waving the Mutombo finger and saying, camisa, no shirt. That was what he was thinking about at that point.
Don't rip my shirt off because the wire is going to be exposed.
The wire will be exposed. And Ken Rosenthal asked him about it after the game, and he said, I did it because I'm shy, and I got in trouble with my wife last time because my shirt was off.
What an amazing interview.
Did you see that? I just watched it again. Okay, I didn't see it.
I did a double take. The fact that Ken Rosenthal asked that question, I mean, we've talked about Ken Rosenthal before on this show. What a great reporter, but... To have the wherewithal to have either seen that or heard it, you know, to then say to Altuve in that moment, why did you tell your teammates not to rip your jersey off? He asked these questions where it seems like such a simple thing, and he's taking a risk Because it you know, the player might say,
why the blank do I have to answer that question?
Right. Or they might give an answer that's just not very compelling, but he took the risk and he didn't know what the answer was going to be. So he asked it. And, you know, it may have just hit right on one of the craziest, you know, controversies that we've seen in modern baseball.
And Rosenthal, by the way, his name was on the byline on the Athletic article. So it almost makes you wonder at that point, did he know something?
Maybe.
Because it then turns into him interview with Mike Fiers. He and another guy, I don't remember who, were both on that article on The Athletic, which nobody can read unless they pay for it. Hansen has a subscription. it's bizarre. And then, you know, now the question also has become Pete Rose, who bet on baseball but didn't bet on his team.
To lose.
Didn't bet on his team to lose.
Bet on his team to win occasionally.
Which is worse? I got to go with stealing signs using technology.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. I think what Pete Rose did is worse.
Really? Why? Yep.
Because
he didn't directly affect the outcome of a game.
Well, in a way he did, because when he wasn't betting on the Reds to win, he wasn't trying as hard. He wouldn't use his best reliever. You know, he would save his best reliever for the game that he wanted to bet on and win.
Maybe.
So I think he was really affecting, you know, what you want is your team. You want to know that your team is trying its best all the time to win. And with him and the Reds, you didn't know that in hindsight, because there were certainly nights that he went out, didn't give it his full effort with his moves that he would make. And that takes away from the integrity of the game, because his team wasn't trying to win.
Has that been documented, that he was saving Rob Dibble or Randy Myers?
I think it's just a natural, you know, logical step that you would take if you're thinking back over what would have been going through his mind, right?
Maybe. But I also have a hard time believing that a guy nicknamed Charlie Hustle, who played like he played like his hair was on fire. Somebody used that quote about him, who ran through Ray Fosse in an All-Star game. I have a real hard time believing that Pete Rose would have said, well, I don't have money on it. I'm not using my guy tonight. I would have figured that if he sniffed a win, he's going to try to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he was trying to lose those other games.
Right.
Right?
Just wasn't trying as hard to win.
Right.
Like,
right.
Let me leave Cal Daniels on the I'm trying to throw, like, every mid-80s red. Chris Sabo sprained an ankle. He is not playing in today's game.
Chris Sabo. So so that's, to me, that's why that is worse. And the other funny thing about this scandal is, and it's even pointed, Rob Manfred even points it out in his report, which is a really great place to go to get the hard facts about this. It's a 9-page report. You can find it on PDF. You know, he references the fact that in baseball, you're allowed to try to look at the catcher and see what he's putting down for a sign and try to decode the system. So what Houston was doing was something that, on the one hand, is acceptable. They just took it too far.
If you're a hitter, though, and you go to peak, you're going to get a fastball in your ear hole.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
I mean, there's unwritten rules about it.
Well, that's you know, if we're stealing signs, and I had this conversation with my wife earlier today, if we're stealing signs, and the Royals did it in 14 and 15, and I'm not even going to say steal signs, if a pitcher is tipping a pitch, if his delivery, I can't remember who we saw it with in the postseason this year, who was setting higher on a fastball than he was on an off-speed pitch, which to me is just a weird sort of tick. But they picked up on that and said, all right, well, if he sets here, that's his tell. Or if he does whatever with his hand, that's his tell. Or like, and I've referenced this on the show before, we realized in a high school game that a coach had fist versus open hand. All right, that was our tell that we picked up on. Those are within the confines of a game. Like, those are, I'm not going through and watching tape and watching it as it's happening and relaying the signs. Like, there's a gigantic integrity issue that goes along with that. You know, that's where the problem lies. Like, stealing a sign is part of the game. But there's a line between legit sign stealing, where you're just not doing a good enough job of keeping your stuff secret, and you may be doing a great job of sequencing, but no amount of sequencing is going to fix the fact that they have a camera in center field and they can tell. Because you can't change your signs every batter.
Right. And for me, the reason that this is a problem is only because in 2017, the commissioner's office came out with a rule, regulation in writing that said that you can't use electronic devices to try to decode these signals and use electronic devices during games. So really, the only reason we're having this discussion about all these people losing their jobs is because that rule came out and the Astros violated it. And that's what's funny about this whole thing is if they just are using their eyes and looking for signs and figuring them out, it's okay.
Right.
But because they use the electronic devices, that's why they went too far.
Well, I guess if you're using that as, you know, baseball has traditionally been really slow to fix problems. Case in point, the steroid users who, if they had been testing in baseball, would have failed and been suspended or banned. Back in the 90s, early 2000s, baseball didn't really have a drug policy in place. So it by that rationale, those guys were clean because they weren't doing anything that was outside of the jurisdiction of the game.
Right.
Fundamentally, there's still an ethical problem with it. Fundamentally, I still have an ethical problem with your using technology to steal a sign, kind of crosses the line. If you're a hitter and you choose to peek, well, I have a problem with it as a baseball fan, as a coach. But if that's what you're willing to do, hey, more power to you. One of the best fights I ever saw was a result of a catcher accusing one of our hitters in Kansas City of peeking. And, the next thing you know, the two of them are arguing. The next thing you know, the benches are cleared. I should post that on the Fox on Sports page. That's the best fight ever. So there is a fine line between, I don't know, I used to work for a guy years ago who would call it the red face test. If you think this is going to get out and it's going to embarrass you, then don't do it.
Right.
And even if it's not illegal within the grounds of the game, the rules of the game, you would have to think at that point, well, this seems to be the wrong thing to do. And people talk and they're traded between teams or they sign with other teams. Like Major League Baseball knew about it and they put a policy in place. Didn't fix the problem.
No, but I think the way that the commissioner's office has reacted to this will fix the problem. And it was one of my favorite parts about this whole story is the discipline that was given out. And it's in that report. And what you haven't heard potentially in the media is you've heard that the general manager was suspended for a year. The manager was suspended for a year. And then Houston went ahead and fired them both.
Yep.
But what you haven't heard that's in the report is that Major League Baseball has also banned those two individuals from going to any major league park or even any minor league park for the next year. They can't even step foot inside a minor league stadium for a year, which I think is a terrific punishment. Right?
Why?
Because if they ever want to try to, you know, revamp their image, get a job with somebody else, show contrition, they're going to have to do it after being completely removed from the game for a year.
He's me coaching Little League. I don't, A.J. Hinch is, I probably a very good manager. I was never one of his biggest fans just for reasons that I'm not even sure of. I just really didn't care for him. And that's a matter of personal preference. How involved he was in any of this, I don't know. I think the Astros GM, in a lot of ways, during last year's postseason and before that, there were a lot of things that had been on his resume that were questionable, but he won. And so people put up with you if you're doing shady stuff, if you're a winner. They put up with you longer. The thing that was also interesting in that 9-page report that came from the commissioner's office was it was about half a page down on the first page, the complete absolution of the owner of the Astros, which is bizarre.
My first reaction is that Commissioner Manfred is just trying to maintain as much integrity as he can and say, hey, our owners they're not involved in this. This is not really from all the way the top down. You know, really, this is sort of organically the bench coach, lower level team employees, some of the players, you know, these are the rogue guys. It's not coming from the owner.
Maybe, but it's kind of the same, unfortunately, the same thing that always happens when a let's say a political candidate tweets something out and or a company tweets something out that was untoward. It was an intern's day to manage the page, and he's since been removed from his job. Like, $5 million to Jim Crane is pocket change, dude. I spent more on breakfast.
Right.
relative to my net worth, I spent more on breakfast than he did on that fine.
But the draft picks, that's substantial.
Sure. I mean,
2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders.
And it's funny, like, the Astros had a really good run of draft picks.
They're going to have to wait till the third round.
No, I just wonder. Like, I mean, but I don't know. It's just the whole thing is gross and disappointing. And, you know, I feel bad for the Dodgers. I feel bad for Kershaw because now he's at a point where, you know, is he the same guy that he was 5 or 6 years ago? No. Is he still an above average major league pitcher? Absolutely. Should he have to do the amount of soul searching that he has to do about his career in the postseason? No.
Right.
That's not fair.
Yep.
Like, his career is tarnished because these guys cheated.
Right.
So, and that's bogus. I don't like that. All right. I mean, because I do like Kershaw. You know, he's a hard worker, great guy, philanthropist, like the right kind of guy. You'd want him as your teammate, and he doesn't sort of deserve the lot that he's gotten. So, all right. Moving on, because gambling is legal now. so we can talk about it, and we're not going to get banned from the sport because we have about 2 minutes. What are your picks for the weekend? Football. So last weekend, hang on. I had one pick. Houston and Kansas City over 51. Did I win?
Yes, you did.
You took Kansas City money line to win 5.
Yep.
You won that. Yep. You did not win your Baltimore-Tennessee under. So you are now ahead 65-34.
Excellent.
All right. So go. What's your stuff for the week?
I'm going to take my 25 units.
Oh, all.
Yep. Okay. And I'm going to invest them all in the Kansas City money line.
What 20 is?
It's minus 345, so 25 would net me 7.25 units. And I think that's the smartest play of the weekend.
All right.
I know Derrick Henry has been extremely dominant, but I think Kansas City is just going to destroy Tennessee through the air.
Yes. Okay. I have 3 going. You kind of left the door open for me, and this is fun. So you could lose 25 if the Chiefs win.
If the Titans win.
Yep. Okay. So that would take you down to 40. I'm just thinking hypothetically. The stuff that I have in 55 seconds. Kansas City and Tennessee over 52.5, 6 units. Kansas City minus the points, 6 units. They're currently favored by 7.5. Green Bay plus the points, 13. Green Bay is favored by 7.5 point dogs.
Putting your faith in Aaron Rodgers on the road after getting smoked by the 49ers earlier in the season.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's constantly on TV. He must be good.
He only has Devontae Adams, though. I think he has a hard time finding another guy to pass to.
I'm just wondering, like, really the big winners, if it's the Chiefs and the Packers in the Super Bowl, a certain insurance company that's headquartered in Bloomington, Illinois, they're the winners. I don't know. It will be interesting. I mean, right now, I feel like everything points to Mahomes and Garoppolo, and I feel like the Chiefs can win the whole thing, and I don't even know how I feel about that.
Well, I know. I feel that would be a very fun matchup to prepare for.
I do, too. I really don't see who's going to stop the Chiefs at this point, which is bizarre considering that 24-0 in the second quarter, and we're all sort of sitting there going, all right, this thing's done.
Or it kind of has to turn around, doesn't it? This can't be real. This can't be happening.
And they ran off 41 unanswered points.
And Lamar Jackson threw for 365 yards against the Titans. So I think Mahomes might throw for over 400.
That's a lot of yards. All right. Anyway, lots to talk about. We could have done a 2-hour show today. Thanks to our special guest, Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach at Bedford High School. Thanks to my partner in crime here, Andrew Hansen, as well as everybody here at the station, Bill, Colleen, George, and Harry, for everything they do. Have a great sports week, and be sure to go on out and check out a Bedford team. You know, don't sit around the house. Get out. Go cheer for a team. You have been listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1.